You're listening to The Morning Show on 93.5 WMWV. Roy Prescott here with you, and I have the honor right now, as we keep the memory of Tom Petty alive with the second anniversary of his passing, I have with me John Scott, who is the author of Tom Petty and Me, My Rock and Roll Adventures with Tom Petty on CB Publishing. John, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you.
It's such a great opportunity to be able to have a little chance to chat with you. And it's such a coincidence, I found out about the opportunity to interview you as I was programming extra Tom Petty music for October 2nd as we remember the second anniversary of his passing.
Still hard to believe.
We do our part to keep his memory alive because between the Heartbreakers and Petty's solo work, Mudcrutch, and the Traveling Wilburys, we have 91 songs in rotation. And it wasn't quite like that as you were getting your start, was it, John?
No, it was absolutely the very opposite. I had been working at ABC Records for 3 days, and I found an album that had nothing on it except it was a white jacket. And I put it on and listened to it, and I heard Breakdown, I heard American Girl, and I was literally in a trance when I heard his music. And I ran to my boss and asked who this guy was. I didn't even know who I was listening to. And he said, oh, that's a punk band, Tom Petty. It's a dead album. It was dropping him from the label. And I looked at him and I said, punk band? What are you talking about? This is a rock and roll band. One of the greatest albums I've ever heard in my life. And I was shocked that it had been out for 8 months and nobody really... It was getting scattered airplay around the country. But I just decided to go on a one-man mission. My boss gave me 6 weeks to try to get it played. And I told him if I didn't get it played in 6 weeks... I would stop. But I had to share Tom Petty with the world. So I did anything and everything I could as a promotion man to get that record played and noticed. Down had been released once as a single in 1976. The album came out in 76, and then nothing happened. And I went to work for ABC in 1977, almost a year later, and Breakdown went to, when we released it the second time, it went to number 40 on the charts, on the Billboard charts. It was quite a struggle. Many radio stations didn't even listen to his album because of the cover.
And I think one of the most interesting things about it is the miscategorization of as punk. I know that when I first heard Breakdown on radio, I was sold automatically, figuring this band is going to be one of the best rock and roll bands in the world, and you got that too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And then I had the luxury a few nights later, played it for a disc jockey by the name of Charlie Kendall, and he listened to it and he said, this is one of the greatest records I've ever heard, so it validated what I thought. And he was playing a few days later at the Whiskey. He was opening for Blondie. And when I was sitting there, I said, before the band came out, I'm going, please, God, don't let this be a punk band. Let this be a rock and roll band. And sure enough, they walked out so cool looking, and they just started playing rock and roll. And the minute I heard that, my friend and I looked at each other and said, this is the future of rock and roll. It was very hard from that point because it had been out for 8 months and the record company was about to drop them, like I said. And I asked my boss for 6 weeks to get it played, and I did everything that I could. I started calling the radio stations, and the majority of the stations said they'd never heard the record, or they would say it's a punk band. And I just wouldn't stop. I was relentless. And that's what he basically said on stage when he gave me a shout-out at the Hollywood Bowl, because I didn't back down, and I wouldn't stop. And Tom had started developing a little bit of a notoriety in Europe, but when he would come home, he would say, he's nobody. And I decided to change that, and I told him that, and he didn't believe me. This was after the Whiskey show. I went upstairs and told him who I was, and he really didn't care about who I was because ABC Records had treated him so badly. And I turned around and told him, Tom, I'm going to break your career. And Tom, my name is John Scott, and don't you ever forget my name when you hear the record on the radio. You're going to be thinking of me. And he laughed at me, and he threw us out of the Whiskey. So my first meeting with Tom was not that great. But a week later, he called me after a week, and he said, John, and he had a southern drawl, he's a southern boy like me, And he said, John, my friends are telling me they're hearing my song on the radio in Los Angeles. I just want to apologize for throwing you out of whiskey the other night. And he said, can you come to my house? I said, how about tonight? And he said, sure. So I jumped in the car as fast as I could because I knew I was about to meet the singer of my new favorite rock band. What a guy he was. What a genius Tom Petty was at writing songs that meant something to everybody, to you. They were simple, but they were genius. It's kind of hard to understand that, but he wrote a song for every man. He was like your friend next door, your neighbor next door. Good guy, a funny guy, no messing around. It was just strictly a family affair, and he didn't want any outsiders, like women on the bus or anything like that, like so many other bands have gone through. But he was just a fantastic man, and it still hurts right now. I still don't believe, to be honest with you, that Tom is gone. Being for a Wildflowers tour to be announced any moment, but I know it's not going to be. And today is a very tough day, and tomorrow will be even tougher, I'm sure.
And I know that we do get to keep his memory alive with his fantastic music. And after you guys forged this friendship that we talk about in the book, as we're chatting with John Scott, talking about his new book, Tom Petty and Me, My Rock and Roll Adventures with Tom Petty, I was reading the prologue of the book, and many years later at Bonnaroo on a hot day in Tennessee in 2013, you looked at it as a fan, and it must have been surreal to see how far this whole adventure had gone.
It was surreal, and you're exactly right, because as a fan, I don't think fans realize how a band puts a record out and all of a sudden they're zero and they go to 100. There's a lot of steps that we had to take to get to that point. And yes, you're right, I was in the middle of about 100 degree weather, and I didn't go backstage that night because I wanted to be a fan, and I'm from Tennessee. And I'd never been to Bonnaroo, and I wanted to experience it like everybody else is experiencing it. Probably, besides the manager, I was the only one in the crowd of 80,000 people who knew how Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers made it to that point. And it was amazing to be sitting there. I didn't care how hot it was. It's just amazing to watch this band be as good as they were every concert. I felt like I witnessed, when I went on the road with him, I felt like I witnessed history being made every night.
And you were right in there, as he mentioned, as you mentioned earlier, on September 25th of 2017, as he was playing what would end up being his last show at the Hollywood Bowl. He acknowledged you and dedicated "I Won't Back Down" to you, and that must have been just, I saw the video of it, it's just heartwarming for sure.
Oh, yes, I could have gone backstage that night, but I just wanted to be a fan again and just go sit in the audience with my daughter. And I had no idea it was coming. He heard me on the radio, on Sirius Radio, for an interview, and he heard me talking as he was driving down to the Hollywood Bowl. And at the memorial, his wife, Dana, said, he turned to me and said, that hit me right in the heart, what John Scott said, and everything he said was true. So I'm sitting in the audience, and Tom hasn't said a word for four songs, and he starts saying he wants to dedicate a song to a special friend, John Scott. And I can't tell you what that meant to me, because I started crying, because it has been a 40-year relationship with Tom, who I consider one of my heroes, a genius in songwriting. I'm so glad that somebody captured that on tape, because I feel that shout-out was a gift that he left me, because he left me a week later. And that's one of the reasons I started writing the book. I had worked with other artists, Elton John and The Who, and I was writing about them. But when he passed away, I couldn't write about anybody else, because he was such a good friend. He was such a major influence in so many bands these days, and I don't think he knew that in 1976 when he drove out from Gainesville, Florida, to Los Angeles to try and get a record deal. It's hard to describe that night. Well, as you can imagine, in front of 18,000 people, and my daughter's there with me, thank goodness, and it just blew me away. It's hard to describe what that feeling is like, except I felt like I was in heaven and paradise, because here he is talking about me. I never expected it, but like I said, I think it was a gift.
Well, John, we could go on forever, but what I need to do is get the book, and actually I want to tell you that I'm going to call our local independent bookstore, White Birch Books in North Conway, New Hampshire, and they've been very kind about getting books in about musicians and such from folks that I've had a chance to interview. This has been an amazing interview, and they'll get the book in stock so we can get it here locally. And where else can we find it? I know you have a great website, TomPettyAndMe.com, also.
Yes, that site is my site where if you buy it on TomPettyAndMe.com, I sign every book. You can also buy it on Amazon. I sign it, but I don't personalize it because you can't do that on Amazon. And the great thing about TomPettyAndMe.com is that, you know, like when Father's Day was coming up, kids were writing me going, dedicate this to my dad, Bill, who played me the first Tom Petty and Heartbreakers record 10 years ago. So it's a generational thing, and I really like my website. It's got the shout out on there and a lot of other cool things. But yeah, TomPettyAndMe.com is the place to go.
All right. Well, this has been awesome. We send our continued condolences to you and, of course, to Tom Petty's fans around the world as we remember his second anniversary of his passing. We wish you good luck with the book. I know you're heading to Gainesville to celebrate and also to L.A. for what would have been Tom's 69th birthday. So we wish you safe travels, and I really appreciate you taking time to join us and talk about your new book, Tom Petty and Me, My Rock and Roll Adventure with Tom Petty. Thank you, John.
Keep playing those Tom Petty songs loud.
We certainly
would. Hey, Roy, I'm going to have Randy Alexander, who's on the line with us here, get you a copy of the book. Just send me your mailing information, and we'll get you a copy, all right?
Okay, on the email that you sent to Gino there?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you so much for that, guys. I appreciate it, and we'll air it tomorrow morning. And, John, I will play I Won't Back Down out of the interview tomorrow, too.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me.
Okay, take care, you guys.
Take care, Roy. Bye-bye.